الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. 107 Sunnahs and Manners. Attar's Prayer. O Lord of the Prophet, whoever reads or listens to the 27-page booklet, 107 Sunnahs and Manners, grant him ability to perform itikaf according to the sunnah and forgive him without accountability. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellence of sending salat upon the Prophet, the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam declared, whoever recites salat upon me once has 10 mercies sent upon them and 10 good deeds written for them by Allah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. 33 sunnahs and manners of visiting the ill. Here are 8 hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam regarding visiting the ill. Number 1. Udul marida, visit the ill. Number 2. Allah bestows the shade of 75,000 angels upon he who visits the unwell, records a good deed when he lifts his foot, and removes a sin, and raises him by one rank when he places it down. This continues until the person sits in his place, upon which mercy envelops him until he returns home. Number 3. Whoever visits a sick person, a caller exclaims from the sky, glad tidings to you. Your traversing is virtuous and you have made a home for yourself in paradise. Number 4. If a Muslim visits a sick Muslim in the morning, 70,000 angels pray for his forgiveness until evening. And if he visits in the evening, 70,000 angels pray for his forgiveness until morning. And he shall have a garden in paradise. Number 5. Whoever performs ablution well and visits his unwell Muslim brother whilst intending to earn reward will be moved away from hell by the distance of 70 years. Number 6. When you come to an unwell person, ask them to pray for you, as their prayers are like that of the angels. Number 7. Until they regain health, the prayers of the unwell are not rejected. Number 8. If a Muslim visits another unwell Muslim whose time of death has not arrived and proceeds to recite this 7 times, أسأل الله العظيم رب العرش الكريم أن يشفيك. Allah will cure him from that illness. Number 9. Definition of Iyadat. Its linguistic meaning is to inquire after the health of a sick person by visiting him. Number 10. Visiting an ill person is sunnah. If you know your visit will be inconvenient for him, do not go. Number 11. Even if you are displeased with the ailing person or he is not agreeable with your disposition, you should still visit him. Number 12. Visit the ill person purely intending to follow the sunnah. If you visit merely because you want him to visit you when you fall ill, you will not receive reward. Number 13. If you visit someone and notice his illness is severe, neither talk to him in such a way that instills fear. For example, you are in a critical condition, nor shake your head in a way that indicates he is seriously unwell. Number 14. When visiting the unwell or troubled individual, show distress and sorrow from your facial expressions according to that which is appropriate to the circumstances. Number 15. Never converse in such a manner that the ailing person or his loved ones fall prey to the satanic whisper that you are happy at his illness or problem. Number 16. Show your support to the patient's family members as well and offer them all possible assistance. Number 17. Visit the unwell person, ask how he is, and pray for his recovery and well-being. Number 18. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam visited an unwell person, It was his blessed practice to say, La ba'sa tahurun insha'Allah. Number 19. Request the sick person to pray for you as their prayer is not rejected. Number 20. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, The complete manner of visiting the sick is to place your hand on their forehead and ask how they are. Number 21. Discussing this hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi alayhi writes, When anyone visits the unwell, he should place his hand on their forehead and say this by asking, How are you? This consoles the patient, but avoid placing your hand for a prolonged period. This action is to express love. Number 22. If the unwell person feels discomfort when you place your hand on his forehead, then refrain from doing so. If he is an Amrad and Mu'adhallah, one feels lust by placing their hand on his head, the act of placing one's hand on his head will become a sin. If you feel lust by looking at him, your act of looking is also forbidden. The same applies if the unwell individual is not an Amrad. Number 23. Speak of things which make the unwell person happy or comfort his heart. Mention the virtues of illness and discuss the mercy of Allah. So his mind focuses on the reward of the hereafter and he avoids complaining. Number 24. According to the situation at hand, speak of good deeds and invite the unwell person to perform them. Encourage them to maintain their salah, as many otherwise punctual individuals begin missing their prayers when unwell. Number 25. Motivate the ill person to watch Madani channel and inform him about its blessings. Number 26. Talk to the ailing person about travelling in a Madani qafila. If he is unable to, kindly encourage him to make one of his family members travel on his behalf. Tell him about the blessings of these, in which patients were miraculously cured by virtue of prayers made during them. Number 27. Do not stay long with the patient and do not make commotion. Yet if the patient wants you to spend more time with him, you may do so if possible, respecting his wish. Number 28. Some people have a habit of prescribing some medicines to the sick person or his attendant. Others even insist the patient should take their prescribed treatment. The unwell person should not take the medicine or treatment suggested to him by anyone and everybody. As the saying goes, Neem Hakim Khatrae Jaan, a doctor with little knowledge endangers your life. An unwell person should consult with his doctor before using the medicine prescribed by someone. Those who are not expert doctors but prescribe medicines regardless are sinful. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi said, It is haram for he who is not qualified to prescribe medicine or treatment, and it is obligatory for him to refrain from this. Number 29. Taking fruit or biscuits, etc. as a gift to the unwell is a commendable act. Yet, it is not good to avoid the visit entirely if one has nothing to bring, fearing the unwell may mind. One should visit even if he has nothing to present. To avoid visiting for this reason deprives a person of reward. Number 30. When visiting a patient, some people take a bouquet of flowers. This is permissible, but not usually useful. Whatever you are to gift, ensure it has use. As a suggestion, give booklets of Maktabatul Madina in place of a bouquet, or even alongside it. This way, the unwell person can give these to other visitors or those around him if he is in hospital. It would be excellent if the patient himself sends someone to buy booklets and earns reward by keeping them for this purpose. The topic of these booklets should be selected with great care. Number 31. Visiting an open sinner, i.e. a fasiq, is permissible, as it is an Islamic rite and the former is Muslim. Number 32. It is not permissible to visit a sick apostate and a harbi, i.e. disbeliever. At the present time, all disbelievers in the world are harbi. Number 33. It is also forbidden to visit a heretic whose deviances have not reached the level of disbelief. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد. 16 Sunnahs and Etiquettes of Shrouding the Deceased. Here are 6 hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam discussing shrouding the deceased. Number 1. He who shrouds the deceased earns a virtue for each hair of the latter. Regarding he who shrouds the deceased, the scholar Abdul Ra'uf al-Manawi rahmatullahi alayhi writes, this entails somebody who arranges a shroud for the deceased out of his own wealth. Number 2. Whoever shrouds the deceased shall be dressed in the fine and weighty silk clothing of paradise by Allah. Number 3. Whoever washes a deceased person, shrouds him, applies perfume to him, carries his funeral bier, offers his funeral salah, and hides whatever defect is seen, shall emerge from his sins like the day his mother gave birth to him. In this hadith, defect refers to that which should not be disclosed, such as the face of the deceased turning dark. Number 4. Arrange good shrouds for your deceased, for they indeed meet each other in their graves and boast, i.e. they show happiness at the quality of their shrouds. Number 5. When any of you shrouds his brother, give them a good shroud. Number 6. Give your deceased white shrouds. Intention for shrouding the deceased. Number 7. To please Allah, and while thinking about the shroud I will be made to wear after my death, I will shroud the deceased according to the sunnah and to carry out an obligation. Number 8. It is fard kifaya to give a shroud to the deceased. This means if anyone arranges a shroud for the deceased, all people will be absolved of responsibility. Otherwise, all who receive news but did not do this will be sinners. Sunnah shroud. Number 9. For men, lifafa, a sheet. Izar, a lower garment. Kameez, a upper garment. For women, along with these three, there are a further 2, Orni and Sina Band. Number 10. The non-pubescent child who has reached the age at which they begin feeling sexual desires has the same ruling applied to them regarding shrouding as an adult. For his or her shroud, as many cloths should be used as an adult is given. A single cloth can be arranged for a boy smaller than this, and 2 cloths can be arranged for a girl smaller than this. It is good if 2 cloths are also arranged for a boy, and it is better to arrange a complete shroud for both, even if a child has lived only a day. Number 11. Only Islamic scholars and spiritual guides can be buried with an imama. Burying the bodies of ordinary people with an imama is forbidden. Number 12. It is not permissible to put such fragrance on a male body in which saffron is mixed, but it is permissible to put such fragrance on a female body. Number 13. If a person wears ihram and dies in the same state, fragrance should be put on him and his face and head should also be covered with a shroud. Details regarding shrouds. Number 14. Lifafa, larger than the height of the deceased so that it can be tied from both ends. Izar or teband, this should be from top of the head to the feet. It is smaller than the lifafa by the portion used for tying the latter. Kameez or kafani, this is from the neck to below the knees. It should be equal at the front and back and should not contain sleeves or cuts. There is a difference between the kafani of a man and a woman. Cut the kafani of a man upon the shoulders and that of a woman towards the chest. Orni, this should be a yard and a half long. Sina band, this should be from the chest to the navel and down to the thighs is better. Usually, a ready-made shroud is bought. These may not be according to the sunnah in terms of the height of the deceased. It may also be too long, leading to wastage of material. Caution can be exercised by cutting a shroud from a roll of cloth, as per the requirement. If you must buy a ready-made shroud, keep the surplus cloth with you after cutting. If the shroud is bought out of the wealth of the deceased, the extra cloth will be divided amongst inheritors. Number 15. The shroud should be of good quality. In terms of price, it should equal the price of clothing the man used to wear for the two Eids and Friday Salah. As for women, it should equal the price of clothing she would wear to visit her parents' home. Method of shrouding the deceased. Number 16. After bathing the deceased, wipe the body gently with a clean cloth so the shroud does not get wet. Infuse the shroud with the smoke of incense sticks 1, 3, 5, or 7 times. Do not exceed 7 times. First, place down the lifafa, the turband on top of this, and the kafani over this. Lay the deceased upon these and put the kafani upon him. Then apply fragrance to the head, beard. If he has no beard, apply it to the chin and entire body. Apply camphor to the body parts upon which a person performs prostration, i.e. forehead, nose, hands, knees and feet. Proceed to fold the izar from the left side first and then the right. Fold the lifafa in the same way so that the right portion remains on top. Tie the shroud at the top and bottom, as this will ensure it does not open. After putting a kafani upon a woman, her hair should be divided into two parts and placed on her chest upon the kafani itself. The orni should be laid out halfway down her back, folded over her head and positioned upon the face like a niqab, allowing it to remain over her chest. In length, it should cover from her mid-back to the chest, whilst it should go from one earlobe to the other in width. The izar and lifafa should then be folded as normal. The sina band should be tied on top from the chest to the thighs. 15 sunnahs and manners pertaining to funerals. Here are 4 hadith of the final prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam discussing funerals. Number 1. Whoever receives news of a funeral and offers condolences to the family of the deceased, Allah writes the reward of 1 qiraat for him. The reward of 2 qiraat are written by Allah if the person accompanies the funeral procession, 3 if he offers salah upon the deceased, and 4 if he is present during burial. Each qiraat is equivalent to Mount Uhud. Number 2. A Muslim harbors 6 rights over a fellow Muslim. One of them is, when he dies, one must attend his funeral. Number 3. When a person destined for paradise dies, whoever carried his funeral bier, walked behind it, and offered his funeral salah shall not be punished by Allah. Number 4. The first reward given to a believer after they die is the participants of his funeral salah being forgiven. Number 5. Prophet Dawood alayhi salam once asked, O Allah, what reward does one earn for accompanying a funeral, purely seeking to please you? Allah replied, angels shall accompany his funeral when he dies, and I shall forgive him. Number 6. Malik bin Anas rahmatullahi alayhi was seen in a dream after his passing and was asked, Ma fa'alallahu bika, how did Allah treat you? He replied, he forgave me due to a phrase Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhu would say upon seeing a funeral. Subhanal hayyil ladhi la yamutu. I began doing this and this phrase led to my forgiveness. Number 7. Offer funeral prayers with good intentions such as to please Allah. Fulfill the obligation of funeral salah, take admonishment and to please the deceased and the latter's family. Number 8. Whilst accompanying a funeral, contemplate over good and bad deaths. Think to yourself, I do not know if I will die with my faith intact. I will be taken like this one day. I will be buried in the earth like this. It is an act of worship and a source of reward to contemplate like this. Number 9. Shouldering the funeral bier is a rewardable act. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam shouldered the funeral bier of Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu. Number 10. A hadith explains, he who takes a funeral bier 40 steps is forgiven 40 of his major sins. It is stated in another hadith, Allah will grant absolute forgiveness to he who shoulders all four corners of a funeral bier. Number 11. The sunnah method is to shoulder a funeral bier from all four corners, one after another, and to walk 10 steps each time. The complete sunnah is to begin carrying from the right side of the deceased's head, then from the right side towards their feet, the left head side, and finally the left side towards their feet. By walking for 10 steps in each position, the total number shall amount to 40. During funeral processions, some people shout, walk 2 steps each. They should instead announce, walk 10 steps each. Number 12. When carrying a funeral bier, it is haram to deliberately cause harm to others by pushing or shoving, as happens in the funerals of famous personalities or when videos are being recorded. Number 13. There is no harm if a single person carries the body of a deceased child in his hands. People may take it into their hands one after another. It is impermissible for women to go with a funeral procession, whether it is of a child or an adult. Number 14. A husband can shoulder the funeral bier of his wife, lower her into the grave, and even see her face, only bathing and touching the body directly without any intervening cloth are forbidden for him. Number 15. It is permissible to recite aloud the Kalima Tayyiba, Kalima Shahada, and poetry in praise of Allah and His Messenger when accompanying a funeral bier. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. 22 sunnahs and manners are regarding graves and burials. Number 1. Allah declares, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alam naj'alil arda kifata ahya'an wa amwata. Translation from Kanzul Iman: did we not make the earth a lodging for the living and the dead? Explaining how the earth is a lodging, it is stated, in a way that the living are gathered upon it whilst the dead are inside it. Number 2. It is fard kifaya to bury the deceased. Even if one person buries the deceased, all will be relieved of the responsibility. Otherwise, those who received news but did not bury him will be sinners. It is not permissible to lay the deceased upon the ground and enclose him in walls on all four sides. Number 3. Graves are also a bounty from Allah. The dead being buried in them means they are protected from animals and other things. Number 4. One should bury the deceased around pious people, as being close to them will lead to blessings. Mu'adhallah, even if the deceased was rightful of punishment, they will intercede for him. The mercy that descends upon them will also encompass him. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, bury your dead amongst good people. Number 5. There is no harm in burying the deceased at night. Number 6. It is not permissible to bury more than one person unnecessarily in the same grave. This is permitted if necessary. Number 7. It is recommended to place the funeral bier beside the grave in the direction of the Qibla, so the disease can be lowered into the grave from that side. Do not place the body at the foot of the grave or bring it from there towards the head side. Number 8. Two or three people, as required, should step into the grave. It is better if they are strong and pious. A deceased woman should be lowered into the grave by her mahrams. If they are not present, other relatives should lower her into the grave. If they are not present either, pious people should be requested to carry out this task. Number 9. Keep the body of a woman covered with a cloth when lowering her into the grave until slabs are placed. Number 10. Recite the following when lowering the deceased into the grave. Bismillahi wa billahi wa ala millati rasulillah. Number 11. Lay the deceased on their right side such that their face is towards Qibla. Untie the knots of their shroud as these are not required now. And there is no harm if they are left tied. Number 12. The one untying the knots of the shroud should recite the following supplication. Allahumma la tahrimna ajrahu wa la taftinna ba'dahu. Number 13. Close the grave with adobe or unbaked bricks. If the ground is soft, it is permissible to place planks of wood. Number 14. Soil or earth will now be placed in the grave. It is recommended to use both hands and cast soil 3 times, beginning from the head side of the deceased. With the first, recite the following verse from Surah Taha. Minha khalaqnakum. With the second handfuls, recite وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ. With the third, recite وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. Place the remaining earth on the grave using a spade or anything similar. Number 15. It is disliked to place more earth than that taken out of the grave. Number 16. Any earth or soil clinging to the hands can either be shaken off or washed away. Number 17. Do not shape the grave to have 4 distinct corners, but instead make it concave like the hump of a camel. It is better to sprinkle water on the grave after the burial, and the grave itself should be a hand span high or slightly more. After burial, calling azan is very beneficial for the deceased and a rewardable act. Number 18. Following the burial, it is recommended to recite the first and last part of Al-Baqarah. Recite from Alif Lam Mim to Muflihun at the head of the deceased, and from Aman al-Rasulu until the end whilst at the feet side. Number 19. It is recommended to stay near the grave after burial for the time it takes to slaughter a camel and distribute its meat. This will make the deceased feel comfortable and help them easily answer the questions of Nakirain without panic. During this time, recite the Quran, pray for the deceased and seek forgiveness for them. Especially pray for them to remain steadfast in answering Nakirain's questions. Number 20. It is permissible to place the Shajara or Ahad Nama in the grave. It is better to make a niche in the Qibla facing wall in front of the deceased's face and place them inside. In Durr al-Mukhtar, it is stated, writing Ahad Nama on the shroud is permissible and one can hope for forgiveness by doing so. It is permissible to write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim on the chest and forehead of the deceased. One person made a will for this to happen after his death. He was seen in a dream and asked what took place with him. He said, as I laid in my grave, angels of torment arrived. When they saw Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim written on my forehead, they said, you have avoided punishment. Number 21. One can write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim on the forehead and La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah on the chest, but only after washing the deceased and before placing a shroud upon them. The writing should be with the first finger of the right hand, not by using ink. Number 22. It is necessary, ay wajib, to bury the bones of the deceased which come out of the grave. 21 sunnahs and etiquettes of visiting graveyards. Here are three hadith of the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam regarding graveyards and visiting them. Number 1. I once forbade you from visiting graves, but to visit them now, for they will draw your attention away from this world and remind you of the hereafter. Number 2. No person passes by the grave of a person he knew in the world and gives salam, except the deceased recognizes him and replies. Number 3. He who visits both or one of his parents' graves every Friday will be forgiven and recorded as righteous. Number 4. It is sunnah to visit the graves of Muslims and a great privilege to visit the shrines of saints and martyrs. Conveying reward to them is a commendable and rewardable action. Number 5. If one desires to visit the grave of any Muslim or saint of Allah, it is recommended to offer 2 units of voluntary salah at home at a non-disliked time. In every unit, one should recite Ayatul Kursi once and Al-Ikhlas 3 times after Al-Fatiha. He should then convey the reward of this salah to the deceased. Allah will create light in the grave of the deceased and grant immense rewards to that individual, i.e. the sender of the rewards. Number 6. Avoid trivial speech and actions when on the way to visit a grave or shrine. Number 7. Neither kiss the grave nor touch it, but stand at some distance from it. Number 8. It is forbidden to perform sajdatul ta'zim, i.e. prostration of reverence, before a grave. If this is done with intention of worship, it is an act of disbelief. Number 9. One should use the old path in the graveyard where there have never been graves of Muslims, even in the past. One should not traverse a new path. It is stated in Raddul Mukhtar, by digging up the graves in a graveyard, it is forbidden to walk upon the new path made upon this. In fact, even if one thinks a path may be new, it is impermissible and a sin to walk upon it. Number 10. It has been seen at the shrines of many saints that the graves of Muslims are demolished to make flooring for the benefit of visitors. Laying down, walking, standing, reciting the Quran, reciting litanies and sitting, etc. upon such floors is forbidden. One should recite Al-Fatiha from afar. Number 11. One should stand facing the deceased's face when visiting and should leave from the direction of their feet so that one remains in their line of sight. One should not approach from the head side as the deceased will have to turn his head to look. Number 12. Stand in the graveyard such that one's back is to the Qibla and face towards the occupants of the graves. After this, one should say, Assalamu alaykum ya ahlal qubur. Yaghfiru Allahu lana wa lakum antum lana salafun wa nahnu bil athr. Peace be upon you, O people of the graves. May Allah forgive us and you. You are our precursors and we are to follow. Number 13. Whoever enters a graveyard and recites the following, all believers that have passed away since Allah created Prophet Adam alayhi salam will then pray for his forgiveness. Allahumma rabbal ajsadil baliya wal izamin nakhiratil lati kharajat من الدنيا وهي بك مؤمنة أدخل عليها روحا من عندك وسلاما مني. O Allah, O Lord of these deteriorated bodies and decayed bones that left this world whilst believing in you, have your mercy and my salam reach them. Number 14. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam announced, whoever enters the graveyard recites Al-Fatiha, Al-Ikhlas and Al-Takathur and then prays as this: O Allah, whatever I have recited of the Quran, convey its reward to the believing men and women in this graveyard. All these believers will vouch for him on the day of judgment. Number 15. It is mentioned in a hadith, whoever recites Al-Ikhlas 11 times and conveys its reward to the deceased shall attain reward equal to the number of the former. Number 16. Incense sticks should not be lit upon graves, as this is bad etiquette and an ill omen. If used to provide pleasant scent to visitors, it should be inserted in an empty place near the grave if available, as providing pleasant fragrance is desirable. Number 17. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, as narrated in Sahih Muslim, Amr bin al-As radiyallahu anhu said to his son as he passed away, when I die, neither should a female wailer nor fire accompany me. Number 18. Lanterns and candles, etc. should not be placed on top of graves, as this is fire, and keeping fire upon the grave is harmful to the deceased. If the intention is to light the way for travellers at night or those that are reciting the Quran, then the lantern or candle should be placed to one side of the grave in an empty place. That vacant place should not be the position of a grave that has now been effaced. Number 19. The following 4 days are preferable for visiting graves: Monday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday. It is superior to visit after Fajr on Friday. Number 20. It is superior to visit graves on blessed nights, especially a Laylatul Bara. Similarly, it is superior to visit graves during auspicious days as well, such as both Eids on the 10th of Muharram and during the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. Number 21. When visiting a graveyard, instead of talking unnecessarily and thinking about useless things, remember your death and shed tears if possible. Remember your sins and contemplate the punishment in the grave. Ensure to repent of your sins. Imagine that just as these dead people are laying in their graves alone, you too will be in the same position one day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.